This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We continue our focus during this Advent season on beginnings, and the Advent wreath becomes brighter and brighter as we become closer and closer to Christ's birth. Heaven coming to us in the form of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Last week we found ourselves in the third chapter of Matthew. And John began his ministry. He came proclaiming the Savior, the Messiah. Heaven was coming, the kingdom of heaven was coming to the earth, founded in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In that same chapter of Matthew, what happens next is Jesus comes to John. We know John was baptizing and calling the lost sheep of Israel back to their roots, back to the wilderness, back to the Jordan, which they had passed through on their way to the wilderness, on their way to the promised land. John calls them back to their roots, and now the one John is preparing the way for comes to him and desires to be baptized by him. And John says to him, I ought not be baptizing you, you ought to be baptizing me. But Jesus insists that John baptize him. And in Jesus' baptism, we know that as Jesus comes up out of the water, the heavens open, the Holy Spirit descends on him like a dove, and his Father speaks, This is my Son, my beloved Son. John is a witness to all these events. And as we sang the song we sang just a little bit ago, the first time we meet John in Scripture, he's unborn. He's in his mother's womb. And at the presence of Jesus, inside Mary's womb, he leaps for joy. John was the one who was called by God to be the forerunner of Christ, to announce that indeed Christ was coming into the world. It was the reason he was born. And again, his birth, miraculous in that his mother, well beyond childbearing years, and yet, John is born. Born for God's purpose. Born for being the forerunner of Christ. And suddenly, here we are today in the 11th chapter of Matthew. A lot has happened since then. One of the things that has happened is that John now is in prison. He's been there for almost a year. And even though he's witnessed all these things, even though he understands that the purpose of his life is to introduce Jesus to the world, life has got him down. Life ever get you down? God's word continually is to reveal to us God and ourselves. We need to see ourselves in God's word. Sometimes we think, oh, that happened a long time ago. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with us. And in John, we see ourselves. We're not unlike John. In fact, we're a lot like John. When the world around us crushes us, we might wonder about our faith. But what God's Word teaches us today, I think, is truly amazing. Amazingly simple, and yet very easy to miss. John wonders, is Jesus truly the one, or is he? Should we look for another? And he sends his disciples to ask that question. Did John have his doubts? Absolutely. He didn't know what was happening. He couldn't understand because of the pressures. He's in prison. Been there for a year. The outlook doesn't look too bright. And undoubtedly, he also has heard about what Jesus is doing. You know, a lot has happened. Jesus has called his disciples. He's did a great share of teaching on the Sermon on the Mount that goes from chapter 5 through chapter 7 of Matthew. He sent his disciples out. And they're tremendously successful in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we remember, what did John teach? John taught that indeed the Messiah was coming, and his winnowing fork is in his hand. For us, sometimes we assume that we know what a winnowing fork is. All winnowing fork is a pitchfork. Some of you know what a pitchfork is. And if you don't, if you saw one, you would know where the handle is, and you grab the handle, and you throw the grain up in the air, and it separated the grain from the chaff. And John teaches that Jesus, the Messiah, is going to separate the grain from the chaff, the wheat. He will gather into his barn, that is, all who believe and trust in him. He's going to gather into his barn, and he's going to burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. He's heard what Jesus is doing, and he wonders, is this the one or not? Jesus doesn't answer the question directly. Where does he go? He goes to God's Word. What Jesus says is a direct reflection of the prophesied Messiah, revealed by the prophet Isaiah. What Jesus says is contained in Isaiah 26:19, 29:18, 35:5-6, which is part of our Old Testament lesson. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute shall sing for joy. It also contains Isaiah 42:18 and Isaiah 61:1-2. Jesus points to Isaiah. Isaiah not only prophesies the Messiah, but he also prophesies John. John will be the one who comes proclaiming, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Jesus takes John to God's Word. The world is crushing John, and he wonders. And Jesus points him to Isaiah, the very prophet that prophesies that John will be the one. And Jesus then turns and says, Blessed is the one who's not offended by me. Thank God we're not offended by Jesus. But many people are. Why are people offended by Jesus? There's a myriad of reasons. But the primary reason is because they're human. Just like John. Just like us. And when we're being crushed by the things that are happening in our lives, by the world around us, we often turn inward to ourselves. John turns inward. He wonders, could have I been wrong? He doesn't understand why the things are happening as they are. But what Jesus invites him to do in that simple invitation, and it's, again, an invitation that can be very missed. Blessed is the one who's not offended by me. What kind of invitation is that? Think about it. It is an invitation to faith. To turn from one's own thoughts about what's happening and turn back to God's Word. To once again find one's roots. And it depends on faith. Truly, our faith is a gift of God. Jesus is revealing the Messiah by what he does, and yet John wonders because it doesn't quite fit the vision that he has for the Messiah. That was the problem many people of Jesus' day had. Jesus wasn't the Messiah they expected. And yet he is the Messiah of God's Word. God reveals himself through his word. And truly, he reveals us through his word and our relationship with him. He calls us into faith. He invites us into faith. And the only way we can receive Jesus is to not be offended by him, but simply to trust the faith that God has blessed us with. The gift of faith that comes to us as a gift from God, delivered to us by the Holy Spirit. The third article of the Apostles' Creed says, I cannot by my own reason or strength believe or come to Christ except by the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift of God that enables us to believe and trust his word that he reveals to us through his word, the Bible. It is where he points John when he has a crisis or a doubt. It is where hopefully we go whenever we have a crisis or doubt, and when things don't make sense to us in terms of what's happening to us or what's happening to a loved one or things that just make no sense at all, when violent acts end up on our doorstep, when the world is crushing us, God encourages us. Jesus encourages John to return to his roots to God's word, where even John himself is prophesied. And then John's disciples depart, and Jesus takes this opportunity to teach an important fact. He doesn't turn his back on John. In fact, he, in many ways, praises him. What did you go out in the wilderness to see? And finally, you know, he asks all these rhetorical questions that make them start thinking, well, what did we go out in the wilderness to see in John? And finally, Jesus says, a prophet? Yes, and I tell you, more than a prophet. And he tells them that John is the final prophet. He is the greatest of those born of women. All of us have been born of women. We all have a mom. John's the greatest of those born of women. But then Jesus says something very profound and often missed. The least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. How can that be? And who is that? That's you. That's me. That's all people who have lived on this side of the cross. And if you wonder, what does that mean? This side of the cross. We've lived our entire lives in the reign of Christ. He had already come before any of us were born. He had already gone to the cross and died, and on the third day rose from the dead. We've lived in the reign of Christ our entire life. And what Jesus teaches is that indeed we are blessed in a way Old Testament people were not blessed, even in a way that John was not blessed. Not long after Jesus or John sends his disciples to see Jesus and ask him if he's the one, and if you're wondering what the answer is, it's an emphatic yes. I'm the one. Look at what I do. Look at what God's word declared I would do. That I am doing. And then, he says, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. It is a blessing that we often don't even realize we have. We've lived our entire life in the reign of Christ. It's made all the difference in our life. Faith in Jesus Christ has made all the difference in our life. It's given us meaning and purpose for our lives. Our lives have been centered in Christ. It is a tremendous blessing. And we don't have to wonder which way to go. God directs us to his word. We gather together in worship to hear his word, to be built up by it, that we may be his hands and feet wherever we are, always inviting, always encouraging people to come to Jesus, to know him, to know what we know in Christ. We are God's children. Again, John, 1 John 3:1. See what kind of love the Father has loved us with? He has made us his children, and so we are. We get to be. It's who we are. We have a new identity in Christ. We get to live that identity out in our daily lives. Loving as He first loved us. Forgiving as He first forgave us. And serving as He has served us. It's not something we have to do. It's something we get to do. And it fulfills our life. Makes us new. In fact, it makes us new every day. We truly are blessed in ways that we often take for granted, in that we have lived our entire lives in the reign of Christ, and we have a new beginning each day in Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.